Hare Krishna. Reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 3, Karma Yoga, Text 38. Krishna speaking. He says, as fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of this lust, because Krishna has spoken about lust in the previous text in 37 and called it the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. So here Krishna is speaking more about it. Comment. Three examples are given here in order of increasing degrees of covering. The first, quote, as fire is covered by smoke, indicates a thin covering because the heat and light may still be usable. When a mirror is covered by dust, the covering is thicker. We cannot see the reflection, but at least we can see the mirror. The thickest covering is around the embryo covered by the womb. The child within the womb can neither move nor be seen. Srila Prabhupada compares that to the non-moving entities such as trees. The dust-covered mirror to birds, excuse me, Srila Prabhupada compares that to non-moving entities such as trees, the dust-covered mirrors to birds and beasts, and the smoke-covered fire to those in the human form. He concludes by saying, quote, in the human form of life, one can conquer the enemy lust by cultivation of Krishna consciousness under able guidance. The enemy is further described in the next verse, 39. Thus the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. Comment. When one fears one's enemy, one must discover where he is situated. Krishna next explains where to find lust and why it is so dangerous. 40. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of this lust. Through them, lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. Comment. Lust is the greatest enemy because it covers our knowledge of the absolute truth. And, as it has already been explained in verse 28 of this chapter, it is that knowledge which makes the difference between working for Krishna and working for fruitive results. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to text 40, the enemy has captured different strategic positions in the body of the conditioned soul, and therefore Lord Krishna is giving hints of those places so that one who wants to conquer the enemy may know where he can be found. The comment continues, before a battle, we should know where to find our enemy. Krishna will therefore explain where and how to attack lust in our attempt to overcome its power. Text 41. Therefore, O Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. Comment. Of the senses, mind, and intelligence, the senses are the grossest. Being gross, they are easiest to control. Krishna therefore recommends that we begin to bring lust under control by regulating the senses. This is automatically done through the Vaidhi Bhakti process. While controlling our senses, however, we should not neglect our intelligence. The intelligence, like a guard, is the next door neighbor of the soul, and its business is to protect us from Maya. If the guard has been corrupted by lust, however, the situation is as dangerous as when a bodyguard is bribed by the enemy. Thus, the materially contaminated intelligence, which works in the service of our enemy, should be neglected. We should instead accept the intelligence of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. 42. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. Srila Prabhupada writes, this is the comment, with intelligence, one has to seek out the constitutional position of the soul and then engage the mind always in Krishna consciousness. That solves the whole problem. A neophyte spiritualist is generally advised to keep aloof from the objects of the senses. But aside from that, one has to strengthen the mind by use of intelligence. If by intelligence one engages one's mind in Krishna consciousness, by complete surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then automatically the mind becomes stronger. And even though the senses are very strong, like serpents, they will be no more effective than serpents with broken fangs. But even though the soul is the master of the intelligence and mind, and the senses also, still, unless it is strengthened by association with Krishna and Krishna consciousness, there's every chance of falling down due to the agitated mind. Comment continues, the soul is the highest and can control all the intelligence, the mind, and the senses. Krishna concludes this chapter by saying, thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence. O mighty Amdarjuna, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, Krishna consciousness, and thus, by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. Comment. We should use the strength of our trained intelligence, which should be fixed in transcendental knowledge, to protect us from falling victim to inappropriate actions impelled by passion, rajagun. In this chapter, Krishna has glorified transcendental knowledge as that which elevates us from sakkam karma yoga to nishkam karma yoga, from the platform on which we perform our duty with attachment to the platform of detached action. Transcendental knowledge has been described as having the power to purify our consciousness of passion and raise it to goodness. Now, in the final verse of this chapter, Krishna has certified transcendental knowledge as being able to award our intelligence the strength to overcome lusty desires. After describing so many of the benefits of transcendental knowledge, Krishna will further glorify it in chapter 4. Srila Prabhupada summarizes this chapter as follows. This third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is conclusively directive to Krishna consciousness by knowing oneself as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without considering impersonal voidness, the ultimate end. In the material existence of life, one is certainly influenced by propensities for lust and desire for dominating the resources of material nature. Desire for overlording and for sense gratification is the greatest enemy of the conditioned soul. But by the strength of Krishna consciousness, one can control the material senses, the mind, and the intelligence. One may not give up work and prescribed duties all of a sudden, but by gradually developing Krishna consciousness, one can be situated in a transcendental position without being influenced by the material senses and the mind. By steady intelligence directed towards one's pure identity, this is the sum total of this chapter. So we have just ended chapter 3, and Krishna willing, we shall soon begin chapter 4. Hare Krishna.